This message is brought to you by Nuveen. Nuveen has provided investment excellence for 125 years with expertise across income and alternatives. Nuveen continues to expand its capabilities while maintaining its legacy as a leading investment manager. Visit Nuveen.com to learn more. Investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, August 26th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Last week, we talked about the concept of quiet quitting and how some workers are looking to reduce burnout and preserve their time outside of work by limiting their engagement with their jobs during work hours. While that idea has gained a lot of support among 9-to-5ers, it's also taken on its fair share of criticism.
We've seen some really prominent people weigh in on this, and the tone varies a little bit, you know, between takes on this. That, you know, if you want to be successful professionally, you have to go all in, and that's how you'll get where, you know, you want to go.
Coming up, we'll talk with our workplace reporter, Catherine Dill, about the growing debate over quiet quitting. That's after the break.
This message is brought to you by Nuveen. Nuveen has provided investment excellence for 125 years with expertise across income and alternatives. Nuveen continues to expand its capabilities while maintaining its legacy as a leading investment manager. Visit Nuveen.com to learn more. Investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible.
There's nothing quiet about quiet quitting. The concept of workers dialing back the go-getter attitude at their jobs has stirred up a firestorm of criticism among people accusing them of coasting or not taking full advantage of the current hot job market. So is that criticism fair? WSJ workplace reporter Catherine Dill has been looking at both sides of the issue, and she joins me now. Hey, Catherine, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
So, Catherine, we talked on the show about quiet quitting last week, but it's kind of a broad term. Can you refresh us as to what it actually means?
Interpretations of quiet quitting vary pretty significantly between workers, but broadly, it's really rejecting this idea of going above and beyond in their career. So for some folks, that can mean really coasting, you know, not putting in hours of overtime, stressing themselves out, trying to meet unrealistic deadlines. For others, it can mean, you know, they are meeting expectations, they are doing their job, but they're working 9-to-5, they're not staying late, they're not worried about it in their off hours. And, you know, it's important to note here, they don't actually want to quit their jobs, these workers, but they do want to focus their time on the things that they do outside of the office as well.
Okay, but creating boundaries, or at least trying to create boundaries between work and life outside of work, that isn't really new. So why is this concept getting so much attention now?
You know, certainly every generation of workers has gone through this, but this has really gained prominence after 2 years of burnout from, you know, work during the pandemic, when for lots of folks, work really took over and in many cases subsumed life. And now they're trying to establish or reestablish some firmer boundaries. You know, many of the workers we've seen who've been really vocal in favor of this, who said that they identify, you know, personally as quiet quitters, are young. And so much of their working lives, or all of their working lives in some cases, have taken place during the pandemic, when, you know, we've seen really widespread burnout among employees. And this, in many cases, I think, can be seen as a logical response.
But you've been with us before talking about how companies and managers see the effects of burnout, and they're trying to help workers manage a work-life balance. So why has this effort by workers stirred up so much opposition?
We've seen some really prominent people weigh in on this, and the tone varies a little bit, you know, between takes on this. We've seen Kevin O'Leary, who's of course the star of ABC's Shark Tank, has said publicly that this is a really terrible way to approach your career. That, you know, if you want to be successful professionally, you have to go all in, and that's how you'll get where, you know, you want to go. Arianna Huffington, also the, you know, founder and CEO of Thrive Global, wrote a LinkedIn post about this, which got a great deal of traction, and, you know, spoke with us and said that for workers who feel this way, you know, even if you're just coasting for 8 hours a day, in some ways selling yourself short, and in other ways missing out for a bunch of time every day, when really, you know, you could have good boundaries and work that feels more rewarding during that time.
But Catherine, doesn't this come down to who you ask and what their own definition of what quiet quitting is?
Yeah, takes on this certainly vary between workers, between managers and executives. You know, one of the people I spoke with for this story is an executive coach who said that it's really incumbent upon leaders to set really clear expectations and also to communicate with workers about how their performance will be evaluated. And so if you do have a worker who's, you know, doing what you've asked, who's meeting expectations, who is successful by the metrics that you've set out, then why would you, the manager, be torn up about it? You know, if that worker is not lying awake in the middle of the night stressed about their job or sending emails at 9 p.m., if they are meeting those expectations, that's a success story.
So how would a worker's own sense of ambition play into this?
One of the people I spoke with for this story was a communications professional in Indianapolis, and she said that for her, quiet quitting, though she did say she sort of likes the term and thinks it's catchy, was an exercise in futility. You know, she had a job where she felt really dissatisfied, and she thought, the way I'm going to cope with this is I'm just going to coast, I'm going to clock in and clock out and not worry about this. But she really found herself constitutionally unable to do so. You know, doing that felt even more frustrating. Her work felt even less meaningful. She was really unsatisfied. And so she said the thing that she really hopes employers tap into here is recognizing behavior like that from employees like her, because she said that left her with one option, which was to actually quit. You know, she handed in her resignation and went and worked somewhere else.
What other kinds of pushback has this idea of quiet quitting gotten?
In some cases, there is a question that I think is an important one of who has the leverage in the office to engage in this. You know, to whom is the strategy of quiet quitting available? And so one of the people we spoke with is Mercedes Swan. She's a human resources manager and career coach. And she said that this may not work for people of color, particularly women. And the example she gave was that she said, you know, Black women often go way above and way beyond expectations in order to attempt to overcome bias, to counteract negative stereotypes. And if they do decide to pull back, try and set firmer boundaries, work more in line with what their peers seem to be producing, they're at risk of experiencing backlash. It's important to note in thinking about quiet quitting, even as it's emerged as a trend among workers for a lot of the reasons we've discussed, it's not necessarily a foolproof strategy for success. And I think this is a great example here of how other workplace conditions, you know, bias, pre-existing, you know, environmental unfairness can complicate this for workers who would like to attempt it.
Okay, so what other options do opponents of quiet quitting recommend for workers who want to take their foot off the gas in what's sometimes called the hustle culture?
We're still in a job market that is providing a lot of advantages to workers who want to change roles. And so, you know, this is something that Arianna Huffington touched on in her remarks, but it's something that workers may really want to consider, that they are in this advantageous position right now that may not last forever. And so if you do want more, if you want to do something other than coast, it is possible right now to both find engaging work that's going to possibly suit you better and that, you know, you'll be able to feel more dedicated to in a really way that's positive for you. But also, you can look for some of those benefits. You can look for a role with flexibility. You can be more upfront than workers have traditionally been able to be with a hiring manager about what your needs and desires are. And so maybe that's a better strategy than thinking, I've put myself in this position where I don't have to give more than I want to, but I also don't ever really feel all that engaged myself.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal workplace reporter Catherine Dill. Catherine, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.